रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 64. महोदर रिडिक्यूल्स कुंभकर्ण. The recitation begins now. Mahodhar could not brook the words of Kumbhakarna. He thought that they were the outcome of the boundless bulk, valor and the strength of the prince. So he lost his temper and cried, Kumbhakarna, coming as you are of the race of Maharishi Pulastya, famed beyond compare through the worlds, you have not yet put away from you your meanness and littleness of intellect. You speak from mere pride and haughtiness, without any touch of learning or study. You have lost your wits through insolent pride, and you have lost also your innate ability to think aright about any subject. Our Majesty is not ignorant of the science of government and what work against his interests. But you are still a witless boy. You prattle out of overweening self-conceit. Our Majesty knows full well the time and place of taking counsel, the obstacles to it, the relative strength of the two sides and its growth or decrease. You have not waited upon the good and the wise. You have not sat at their feet to learn from them great truths. You place your entire trust on your prowess. A man of discrimination would never take a leaf from the book of a man of the ordinary level. Then, how much more does it apply in the case of your Majesty? You say that the aims of life, dharma, possessions and happiness are different in the matter of their results, different in the matter of their source. You confirm that they will produce those results unfailingly. Your intellect cannot compass their nature, nor their basic truth. The performance of the Vedic rites that leads a man to the world of the gods entail at the outset physical worry, fatigue and the like. Even so, such acts, such as the acquisition by force of what belongs to another, bring on sorrow at the end and happiness at the outset. So you are not right in your allocation of the results to the acts, nor are they inevitable, nor have we anything to support your position. Our acts compass for us heaven or hell, but we see that some special sins do bear great results. Dharma and positions and whatever is opposed to them, these four bring us excellent results. Sometimes these last two cause grief. So dharma and the like, as also the opposites, give us two different results. All creatures go through actions that are helpful to them here and hereafter and reap the results thereof. We have seen a man entirely devoted to pleasure and happiness enjoy the results of good deeds. Therefore, it is not just to decide that the acts enjoined by the Shastras produce happiness when they conform to the rules laid down in the scriptures. On the other hand, acts are capable of giving every kind of result. There is no inevitable connection between acts and their results. Our Majesty based his objection of Sita on this principle, and we consented to it. We never took any step without taking deep consideration in everything regarding the fall. Kindly oblige thus by laying your finger on any particular act. You proclaim your readiness to fight singly and without any help, and you base your assertion on your strength and prowess. I will prove to you that your words are but a waste of breath. The Rakshasa heroes that made Janasthana their home, led by Khara and Dushan, do you make them out as men of no note? Yet Rama slew them out of hand by himself within a muhurta. Dare you defeat that warrior of warriors, hero of heroes? The kith and kin of the Rakshasas that fell on the field of Janasthana are yet mad with terror at the very name of Rama. Rama is the firstborn of King Dasharatha, whose war car knows no bar to its march in all the 10 quarters of the earth. He is like unto a lion enraged. There is no wiseacre but yourself who will go out of his way to hit a sleeping black cobra, and that when it is sunk in deep sleep or in the grip of hunger. Rama is ever radiant with luster like the very Lord of Day. He is unapproachable when his wrath is up. No one dares to lift his eyes up to Raghuvira, who resembles the Lord of Death, come to collect the lives of the creatures in the worlds. Our forces, all told, cannot stand against him for a moment. I have my own doubts upon it. Then what can you do all by yourself? A man whose strength is gradually waning cannot hope to achieve anything when his foe, whose strength is ever waxing. His utter disregard of the foe is not the path that will lead him on to victory. Such a counsel will impel a man to act only when his life is distasteful to him and when death is a most welcome friend. Of course, you are the pride of the Rakshasa world, but likewise Rama is the pride of the world of men. Why, Indra, Surya and the other gods have no place by him. You have not even the right or the ability to speak of standing up to him in battle. He turned to Ravana and said, Your Majesty, why trouble yourself with varied counsels when you have in your possession and at your easy disposal that very Sita whom ordinary efforts and measures cannot place in your hands? It comes to me to make a suggestion as to bend her to your purpose and make her come to you of your own accord. If you approve of it, I pray you put away the advice of others and act as you think fit in that matter. I, Dvijihva, Samkharadi, Kumbhakarna and Vitardana will march forth to slay Rama. Thus should a proclamation be made throughout all Lanka. Then we give battle to the enemy without the fort. If we win, you need not trouble yourself with any schemes or measures discussed above. If we do not win, we will pierce ourselves with the arrows bearing the name of Rama, blood streaming from our wounds. We come back shouting for very joy that we have eaten up Rama and will throw ourselves at your feet and you will honor us befittingly. Then cause a proclamation to be made all through Lanka by the beat of drums on the elephant back that Rama, Lakshmana and the monkey hosts are no more. Then make lavish presents of garments, jewels and gems to your servants and delight the hearts of the Rakshasa heroes with flowers, perfumes, garlands, meat and drink. This glad news will spread all over Lanka. Rama is eaten up by our Rakshasas. Then you take your way straight to Sita, console her for the loss of her husband and pray her to place her affection on you and accede to your wishes. Lord her with gold and gems and garments and wealth of every kind. This measure will bring fear and grief in the heart of Sita. It matters not that she has till now entertained no thought of love towards you. Now she has lost her husband and there is no one to whom she could turn for help or comfort. So she will take refuge with you and you alone. When she comes to know most assuredly and definitely that he who was the object of her deepest love is no more, she will put away all hopes of going back to him. She will place herself at the disposal, thanks to the innate tendency of unsteadiness of women. She has been brought up in the lap of luxury. She is fit to go through the life of unalloyed happiness. She has been for some time a mark for the arrows of misfortune and misery. It is not difficult for her to decide that life and all that it holds of happiness and delight is before her only through you. So she will come to you of herself. This is my scheme as far as my intellect can compass. But serious and inevitable danger lies before anyone who goes out to battle against Rama and comes within the range of his vision. So there is no call to invite death to our homes. Happiness, joy, delight and everything that the heart holds dear on high is yours without stirring from your seat and without any trouble about fight or battle. We need not face the forces of our enemies. We need not entertain any fears about our lives on the battlefield. We can defeat them without the troubling of fighting him. Unparalleled fame, happiness is yours, as also the priceless treasure of Sita, the abode of all that is good, noble and auspicious. All these are yours. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhumaya Mangalam.